Can we turn to the book of Proverbs again for scripture reading? And we're turning to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 and reading from the first verse of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, as we come to thee afresh, we thank thee for the direction of God. We bless thee for thy guiding hand. And we, our God, ask thee that thou wouldst guide and help us today. Lead us into all truth. Send the Holy Spirit to guide us, to enlighten our eyes, and to give us that understanding that takes in what thou hast said in thy word. Bless, O God, and meet with us. We pray of thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. I was reading about a man who was out on his little boat on holiday up in Canada, on the lakes in Canada. And as he was out fishing, trying to go here and there, and he spent a number of hours fishing in different spots, couldn't really get anything. But as he was going about the lake, he found himself in the middle of a real pea soup fog. The fog just suddenly came down across the lake, and he didn't really know where he was for a time, and he was a number of hours out, and he couldn't see where he was. So he made his way along the shore, keeping as close to the shore as he could, trying to find somewhere that he could recognize, and eventually came to this little inlet, and he knew that this was directly opposite the cottage where he was staying, where his base was. So he turned the boat round and he headed in the direction that would take him to the opposite side of the lake. Now, so he rowed and he rowed, and it was about an hour later, and he was still rowing, and he thought, this is taking a long time. And as he looked round him, he realised that he had come back to the inlet again, and he'd spent an hour rowing round in a circle and had just come back to the same place. And he lamented, if only I'd taken my compass instead of relying on my own sense of direction. And often in life, you know, we go in circles. We go looking to ourselves and to where we think we're going. And really, after a few years, sometimes we find we've got nowhere. Sometimes there is no purpose in what we have done, the things that have taken place. And last time we started to look at the wisdom that there is in the book of Proverbs. And in the first chapter, we saw how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you look in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. And in the 13th chapter, verse of this chapter, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And a big part of the wisdom that we need to have is the direction of God. A person can only really be wise if they're walking in the way that God has directed them, if they're going according to God's path. And the Lord says here, if you look at verse 7 and 8, he says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And he says, don't go your own way. And he says in verses 5 and 6, in the words of our text, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then, woman, that is the way to success, and that's the way to blessing, and that's the way to happiness. We notice the words there, how he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Do you want happiness? Do you want real contentment? Do you want blessing in your heart and in your life? Then just listen to the pearl of wisdom that we have here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's about trusting the Lord. And that's what we need to do in our lives and in our hearts. But just for a few minutes at the end of our meeting, I want us to see the kind of trust that we are to have in the Lord if we're going to have happy and fulfilled lives. And the first thing I want you to see is that it is an entire trust. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It speaks there of the seat of the being, which is our heart. And when it speaks of the seat of the being, it means that with everything that we have, with our all, with our whole lives, with all our resources, with all our talents, with all that we have, with our whole bodies, we give it all to the Lord. And of course, the first thing that that means is that we trust him with our soul. You have that place in your heart and in your life where the Lord has control. The problem today, of course, is, and the problem with man from the very beginning, or not very from the very beginning, but at least from the fall, is that man is a heart that is in rebellion against God. We don't trust God. We want to go our own way and do our own thing. And we are like the people in the days of Judges. And we say, let us do that which is right in our own eyes. And that is something that's pervaded not only the world, but it is something that's pervaded the church. If I think it's right, well, I can do it no matter what the Bible says. And no matter what direction we have from the Word of God. As long as I think it is right, then I can go ahead and do it. But the Lord says, no, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's no keeping back of anything. There's no holding on to a part. Just fencing off this little part of my life and I can hold on to that. No, you have to give it all to the Lord. And the psalmist declared, he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And surely that's what we need in this day in which we live. We have no right to anything. There's nothing that we can bring to the Lord. But we need his mercy bestowed upon us. And men and women, the first thing that you need to do is give your heart and your soul to the Lord. If you're not saved, then that's the first trust. We come to the Lord by faith. We trust him. Do you trust him today? Are you willing to give your all to him, to lean upon him? But not only are we to trust him with our soul, but we're to trust him with our sanctification. We are to walk in the ways of righteousness and in the ways of holiness. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Are we living by faith? Are we living by trust? You know, when the Lord called his disciples, he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, when the Lord said that to the disciples, the cross, you know, Calvary had not taken place. But they knew what it was to take up the cross. They knew that that meant an excruciating death. They knew that that meant a torturous death. And they knew that when they were following the Lord Jesus, they might have to give their lives. They might have to lay down themselves, their very being and their all, and they might suffer torture and they might suffer all sorts of deprivation as a result of being a Christian. Are we willing to lay down our lives to follow him? Remember what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it is reasonable because he's given his life for us. Are we willing to give our lives to him? Are we willing to give our lives to the one who loved us and went to that cross of Calvary and died and shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed? How much do we love him today? Are we willing to trust him with our all, with our finances, with all that we have, our substance and all that we are? Are we willing to lay that at the feet of Christ and say to the Lord, whatsoever he saith unto me, I will do it? The Lord wants you fully on the altar for Him. So this is an entire trust. Trust Him with all thine heart. And then it is an exclusive trust. It says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, when we get into trouble and when we get into trial, sometimes our automatic reaction is to go to our own resources, and we spend time thinking how we can get out of it, and we spend time trying to devise some way round it, and we lean upon our own understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that when we says here that we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, it doesn't mean that we just don't think at all. We're not just going on impressions and feelings and something like that. God wants us to consider the possibilities, certainly. But we should never go on any course that we have not laid at the feet of the Lord. And that's not just to get the stamp upon it. It's to make sure that this is God's way for me. That it's God's direction for me. And you look at the principle here. There is the principle of seeking the will of God. I feel that this is a something that's been lost among the people of God. We just go in our own way and we have our choice of career or whatever it is, and we just do it according to our own devise and our own thinking. We just do it the way the world does it. But we've all choices in front of us. It may be a choice of a partner for life. It may be a choice of a job. It may be a choice of subjects at school. It may be a choice about how to bring up your children, what school they should go to, what way you should direct their lives. You might have the choice about your parents and whether you can look after them or whether they would be better looked after in a home. You have the choices about your retirement and where you will be and what you will do and one thing and another. And in all parts of our lives, there are choices that we face. But do we make those choices in the light of the direction of God? You say, but how do I know the will of God? How do I know what God's will is for me? Well, could I just give you a couple of principles very clearly? And the first is that God will never direct you to do something that is in contradiction to His word. He will never give you a path to walk in that contradicts what He says in His commandments and in His scriptures. He will not lead you into committing adultery. He will not lead you into stealing. He will not lead you to abandon your husband or wife. He will not lead you into those things. There are those that have all sorts of reasons and they come with all sorts of thoughts in their minds about what is the will of God for them. But it's something of their own devising. God will not lead you to do something that is in contradiction to His word. Can I give you another principle? Ask the Lord about His direction in the place of prayer. If you want direction from God, ask Him. You know, sometimes the answer may be long in coming, but we need to keep on asking. We need to wait. We need to have patience. And we need to have our eyes open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to look in the Word of God and we need to see the direction that God might be sending us. Sometimes people can get words from the Scriptures. Sometimes it's the desires that God puts in our hearts. But we have to be careful about desires because there might be desires of the flesh. I'm not saying it's easy to discern the will of God. But you know, when you have the will of God in your life, there's a peace that comes. And you have to be willing to go where God wants you to go. That's one of the things. It's no point in going to God and saying, Lord, what is your will, but this is what I want to do. It's like the old Scottish lady who used to have an old stick. And when she used to go about selling buttons and shoelaces and things around the towns in Scotland. And when she would come to a junction, she used to throw up her stick in the air, and whatever way the stick would point, that's the way that she would go. But one day she was standing at a junction, she was throwing the stick up in the air, and was coming down, and she was throwing it up again, it was coming down. Somebody said, what are you doing? She says, well, I always go in the direction that the stick points, but I want to go left and the stick keeps pointing right. I'm just waiting here until it points the right direction. Sometimes people do that with the Word of God. You know, we just wait for God to give us the right word. And, you know, there we are, waiting for God to change His mind. No, we have to go with the thought, whatever He says to me, that's what I'm going to do. But not only do we see the principle, but there is the power. What better person could there be to direct our lives than the Lord, the one who knows the future, the one who knows the end from the beginning? What better one, what better wisdom could we have than the one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week and what's going to happen down the way? The Bible says, the psalmist said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And we can put our hand in the one hand of the one who knows the future, knowing that His way is always best. So this is an entire trust. We trust Him with all our hearts. It's an exclusive trust. We don't lean on our own understanding. We lean on Him. But then something else, it's an everyday trust. You see, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means everything. It means every part of our lives, every part of the future. And maybe we've already spoken about the future, but whatever the future may be for you, are you willing to give that in the hands of God? Bobby Richardson was a New York Yankee baseball player, and he was one time at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in America, and he prayed this way, and he said, this was a very short, brief prayer, but it was to the point. Dear God, Your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. Could you pray that prayer? Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Not only are we to place our future in His hands, but we're to place our finances in His hands. Now, we have come to days of economic stringency. There are people that have worries about money and worries about tomorrow and whether your investments are going to make any interest at all. And we can put our finances in the hands of God. You know, sometimes I think we don't have enough faith. You know, you read about the great missionaries and men of God of the past, men like George Mueller. And they were willing to place everything in the hands of God. And there were times when they didn't know where the next penny was coming from. But they knew that God would provide. And God did provide. You know, those great faith missions and people of faith. And they went out to the mission field. And they just relied on God to supply their needs. And God did. We need to have it all worked out, don't we? We need to know the bottom line of the balance sheet before we go anywhere. We need to put our finances in the hands of God. What about our fun? Maybe you're a little bit surprised about me speaking about fun. That's not an area that we need to place in the hands of God. Yes, we do. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. There are the places that you go and things that you do, and you couldn't acknowledge the Lord in it. You have the old adage of not going where God would not take you, and you need to be very careful about the things that you do. You know, we should just sit back sometimes and take a look at ourselves and the things that we do. Entertainment today is full of sex and violence and indecency. And we're not immune to that. We are being hardened to that. Even God's people are being hardened to that today. People are doing things that our great-grandparents would have been shocked at. Even Christians are doing things and wearing things and dressing in ways that they would have been arrested for a number of years ago. What about what you spend your money on? I was reading this week about a little girl. You know, we buy so much and have so much. I know it's a day of economic stringency. But you know, we think of the starving out in the far-flung fields, and we think of the missionaries who are going out and maybe having that much resources. Is that right? Is that right? We have so much, and there are those that have so little. I read about a little girl this week, and about, I don't know, about 7 years old. And instead of having her birthday presents, she decided that she would give the money from her birthday presents to missionary work. And she said, well, it was a hard thing to do because she said it would be nice to get the toys. But she says, I have so many toys. And this little girl, just out of her own desire, gave the money to the missionary work in Asia. And you know, that speaks to us. We can hoard up our resources. And we need to have our fun. And all that we have placed in the hands of God. What about our family? Is your family in the hands of God? Do you conduct your family business in your home in the ways of God? Make your home a place where God is acknowledged this year. Make it a place where God is worshipped. Make it a place where you pray, both individually and together. Make it a place where God is acknowledged. In all thy ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's not one part for Christ and another part for my pleasure. There's not one part for the Sunday and another part for the rest of the week. If you're a Christian, all of your life is in the hands of God. So this is an everyday trust. But there's one more thing I want you to see, and that it's an enjoyable trust. Because if you look at verses 7 to 10, it says this, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. And you notice that it speaks there of blessings that flow from trusting the Lord. There are individual blessings there. He shall direct thy paths. And isn't that interesting that the Lord is interested in your path? Thy there is a word that is singular. My path. Your path. You can put your name in there. God's interested in your path. You know, we think of God maybe sometimes up in heaven and he looks down upon us. But it's sometimes hard to realize that God knows every step that you take and every place that you go and every thought that you have. And he's interested in the way that you are going. And he wants to direct your path. He's interested in your life and mine. He wants you to go in the right direction. In a wise direction. In a direction that will not get you into trouble. It is an individual blessing. And then it is an increasing blessing. It speaks of how if we honour the Lord with the first fruits, then will our barns be full and our presses will be bursting. Now this is one of the verses that's laid hold upon by the prosperity preachers as one of their proofs that God will bless. If you give to God, God will give to you. There is, it's just that the prosperity preacher twist it. They sort of preach a materialism. But there is a principle that if you give to God, God will bless you. God will bless you. You think of William Colgate of Colgate Toothpaste. And as he got richer, he gave an increasing amount of his wealth to God and God blessed him. You're never going to lose out if you place your all in the hands of God. God will bless you. Your barns will be full and your presses bursting. Not only will there be that sense of blessing in the fact that what we have will increase and our spiritual blessing will increase, but it speaks about our health there. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, there's an awful amount of illness that comes because of stress and worry. Because we worry and we fret over things that probably never take place. You know, it leads to all sorts of illness. And we all do it. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. You know, you go and get your stress measured and you find that you are full of stress and strain. That's because we're worrying and fretting over things that we should hold or put in the hands of God. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And because we don't do that, because we're not content to leave it in the hands of God, because we're always fretting and worrying about what will take place, we leave ourselves open to all sorts of illness and all sorts of disease and a whole raft of heartache and fears. My, what benefits there would be to us, not only spiritually but physically, if we were just to put our all in the hand of God. Well, men, women, are we ready to trust the Lord today? Will you trust Him? Some of you have never trusted Him at all. Some of you have trusted Him with your soul, but you're holding on to your life and you don't want the Lord to direct you. Well, a Christian is someone that has their hands or put their all in the hands of God. I'm sure you've heard about the old man in his 75th year, for his 75th birthday. He wanted to go up on a plane. He'd never been on a plane, in a little West Virginia town. And the old man got up on the plane and took him round one of the little single or small planes, just a couple of seats in it. And he came back, and the nephew that was there waiting for him on the ground says, "Uncle Dudley," he said, "were you scared?" He says, "No." He says, "I wasn't scared, but I never did put my full weight down." You know, there are people like that. We never do put our full weight down. But what blessings there are when we put our full weight in the hands of the mighty God of heaven. May God help us to trust Him with all our hearts. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the direction of Thy precious word today. O God, we pray that each one of us may trust Thee with all of our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Thee, and Thou wilt direct our paths. O God, just help us today not to hold back anything, but O God, to be out and out for Thee, fully dedicated Christians, fully in the hands of God, saying, "Whatsoever He saith unto me, I will do it." Bless our God, and write Thy word upon our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.